This is a test for an oral interview for of Mr. John.
85. I was born in 1923.
Great.
And how long have you lived in Brownsburg? more or less.
5 years. No.
I expect 75 years anyway.
All right. All right, that's all we're going to do at this point. Stop. Today is January the 23rd, 2008, and we're going to be doing an interview of Mr. John Layton Weitzel at his home at 2664 Brownsburg Turnpike in Brownsburg. And my name is Richard Anderson. We'll be asking the questions, and Mr. Weitzel will be answering the questions. So we'll start off. John, your date of birth was July 21st, 1923.
That's correct. All
right, so let's see, that makes you, 1923. That makes you 85 years old.
That's about right.
Is that right? Well, congratulations. And where were you born?
Born but two houses up from where I am right now.
Right here in Brownsburg?
Yeah, right up there.
On the same side of the road?
Same side of the road.
Is the house still there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which house is that? Would that be?
It's the one beside of Glasgow Craney's.
Okay.
The blue house, and then the next one is the house I was born in.
Was that a log building?
Partially, I think. Part log and part weatherboard.
Okay. And that house, is it still standing?
Yes.
Okay. And how long did you live there, approximately?
Just a short while. That was my grandfather.
Grandfather's home?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What was his name?
Lucian Dudley.
Lucian Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, where did you move? Where did you live after that?
Well, mostly I lived right here all the time. But after I grew up, got away, I lived in Charlottesville for about a year.
Okay. But you lived right in this house where we are now?
Yes.
Pretty much?
Yes. Uh-huh.
After you left the Dudley house?
Yes.
Okay. And what are your parents' names?
Molly L. Weitzel and Margaret Weitzel.
Okay. And they lived in this house as well?
Yes.
Okay. Did your grandparents live in Brownsburg for a long time?
They lived in the house where I was born up there, just two houses above mine.
Okay. Did they live there all their lives, pretty much?
Yes.
Okay. And what did they do? What was their...
My grandfather was in the timber. He cut timber.
Cut timber. And was that for the timber went elsewhere or was sold?
They just cut it and sold it.
Sold it, okay. What's your first memory of living in Brownsburg?
Oh,
that's a tough question.
It is. It's a tough question, but
It was a small village in which still is that effect, but it was a small village and didn't wasn't much going. Had 4 or 5 stores and that's about the size of it. It had a church and 4 or 5 stores and several houses. It was just kind of a little settlement.
Small neighborhood.
Small neighborhood, yes.
Did you really get to know everybody?
Oh yeah, everybody knew everybody else. And it was just like a big family.
And who were some of your neighbors? By name, if you can recall names.
Oh, well, the Whipples and the Miss Mary Morris lived across the street from me. She was a lady preacher and preached at the church here in Brownsburg.
That was a little church across the street here.
Across the street from me, yeah.
Right. What's your, tell us about that church, whatever you know about it. Was it,
It was a Friends Lighthouse Mission Church. It was kind of, I don't know what denomination it was. It was not one of the big denominations, I don't think. It was a little, I don't know what you would call it. It was a little, kind of like, well, Friends Lighthouse Mission is what they were. And
what they called themselves.
Yeah.
And this Mrs. Morris was in charge of it?
Yes, she was preacher of that church.
Did she live here as well?
She lived in the house across the street from me.
What is now where I live.
Where you live, yeah.
And how long did that church, was that church in operation for a long time, or?
It had been for quite a while, and then it lasted a little while after that. It finally, the larger churches ruled it out, and it served its purpose.
So did this close down, or?
It stayed open for a while, but then it just closed down.
About when did it stop operating, you think, approximately?
Oh,
was it still here after World War II?
Yes, for a while, but it was just a little church, didn't have a very large congregation.
And what happened to the building?
The building was sold and they tore it down and moved it to Stanton and built it back to a church in Stanton.
So it went into another church.
Yeah. The church in Stanton burned, I think, and they took this one down and moved it down there.
All right. What other neighbors were there that you can mention?
Oh, the Wades and Laura Pleasants and Glasgow Craney and just the houses that were next to mine and just along the street here.
Did most of those people stay in the community or did they move away?
Well, at times, one of them would move away and then another one would move in, and they changed a little, quite a bit. They didn't stay too long. Wasn't much work here for them in Brownsburg. It wasn't much for them to do. They had to work away from here, mostly.
I see.
A lot of them were farmers, worked around here, and then the others, they had to get jobs off from somewhere else.
Did you have other relatives besides your grandfather who lived in Brownsburg? when you were growing up?
Yes, had a couple aunts and uncles and that lived in this area. Maybe not right in Brownsburg, but they lived within a few miles of Brownsburg.
Do you recall any of their names?
Oh yeah, well, my grandfather was Dudley's, and then I had Raymond Miller and his wife, and they lived in this area. And I my aunts and uncles lived over Decatur, which is 5 miles from here, so they were reasonably close too.
So you went to the Brownsburg school, I assume.
Yes.
Did you started in the first grade, or?
First grade, yes. Went from first grade and
About what year
tragedy.
would that have been, first grade?
Well, that would have been, oh, 1923, and I was seven, or 1930, somewhere along
Yeah,
that.
1930. And you went all the way through the end of the high school.
Yeah, graduated from high school.
Was the old academy building still there when you
Yes,
started?
it was.
Did you attend classes in that building?
Yes, I did.
What recollections do you have about that building?
Well, it was very old and very not well. It was modern for its time, but it wasn't what you'd call modern now. It would have been an old type school then.
And that was torn down at some point while you were attending the school there.
Yes.
Do you know about when that was? Approximately.
38 seems to me like it was 38, something
38.
like that.
So up until that point, you were still using that building and going to classes in that building.
Yes. Well, there was two buildings, one side by side.
Right. And what was the reason for tearing it down?
Well, they consolidated the schools, and that's when they were torn down. The schools went together and made a larger one and just closed the one at Brownsburg.
Do you remember the names of any of your teachers?
Oh yes, I had Miss Wade and
Which Miss Wade was that?
well, she was from Stanton, and then Pauline Wade.
Pauline Wade.
And
What grade did she teach?
she taught to fourth grade, I believe.
And anybody else, other teachers?
Oh, yeah, Miss Rosenell Patterson and Mrs. Rosenell Patterson, rather. And I had Miss Trimmer was the principal of school. And,
Did she also teach?
yeah, she taught too. And she remained here for quite a while.
How big were the classes? How many students were in the classes?
Oh,
Approximately.
anywhere from 20 to 30.
And where did those students come from?
All right around the country here, they were bused in, and had several school buses. They bused them from Rockbridge Pass and all around the countryside here, just bust them and brought them in here.
How many students from right in the Brownsburg area were in the school?
How many were in that school?
Approximately.
Approximately 300 or so, I imagine.
And how many actually live right here in Brownsburg, you think?
Oh, it was very few of them that lived in Brownsburg. They were bused in. We had about five or six buses bused them in here.
Did you walk up to school?
Yeah, I was right close. I walked up.
That was true. Mostly the children in Brownsburg would walk to school.
Right, yeah. The school was where it is now. It was about the same.
You want to tell us about any of your experiences at the school, good or bad?
I was like most boys, I guess. I had several of each, good days and bad days. So.
Did they play sports up there?
Did they what?
Play sports up there?
Yeah. We had sports. We had baseball and basketball, and we had we had an outdoor basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
Played basketball out on the grounds.
Right.
I know when it's bad enough when you got a floor in there, but we slide on the floor, but now you slide on the gravel. When they had a basketball game, or if you fell down, or you had a little sand or gravel skins on your legs, because you'd go to the ground.
Yeah, scrape your knees, huh?
Yeah, it was a little rough. And it was quite a while before they got any indoor courts. We didn't have an indoor court for quite a while.
So let's see, you would have graduated, somebody told me there was no, there was one, one. There weren't 12 grades, were there? There were just 11
no,
grades.
They put another grade in after that.
So, if you started in about 1930,
well, you went from to the seventh grade and then 4 years of high school.
Yeah, right. It wasn't any eighth grade.
No, didn't have an eighth grade.
Yeah. So you would have graduated in about 1941. Is that?
That was, I think, right. Yeah. What it was, I believe.
Okay. And had World War II started? By that time, when you graduated?
I had graduated then.
You had already graduated?
Yes.
War started in 1942, I guess it was. Well, no, maybe it was earlier than that. At any rate, after you graduated from high school, then what did you do?
I went to Dunsmore Business College in Stanton.
You went directly from high school to that school?
Yes.
The next year?
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you attend that school?
About, I guess, 8 months, something like that.
And then what did you do?
Then I just came out and went to work.
Here in Brownsburg?
Yeah, my father was in the undertaking business here, and I...
Okay. Tell us about that business. A little bit. When did he start that?
Well, he was in that when I was born. I was born into that.
So and, he always was that operated where the store.
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
Okay. And so you went back after you got out of the business school. You came back to help him with that business.
Yes, I did. And then my father died, and.
When did he die?
Died in 1940. Oh, I can't think. 1940s, I believe.
Early 40s.
Yeah.
And then what happened to the business?
Well, it closed up for a while.
And then did you continue to operate or
then, well, I was pretty young to operate a business then, so it was later on I opened up a store and had a business there, and my mother tried to run the funeral home. Daddy had a funeral home here, and we ran that for a while after
he passed away,
and we finally had to give it up.
Okay. And by that time, you had opened the grocery store? And
well, later I got into the grocery store. And then I ran the grocery store for a while, and I closed it then. And then later years, long after that, I opened it up again. And there was five stores here, and that was too many stores for the size of the town. So we closed some of them out. And then later on, I went back in it again, got groceries again. And I ran at that time for a few years, and then got the post office and put the post office in with it. And
so at some point, the post office was relocated to the store?
Yes, mm-hmm. I moved it from down where it was.
Where had it been before that?
It had been down at Bosworth's, across from the service station, beside the bank.
Okay. And was that the time when you actually became postmaster yourself? Or?
No, I became postmaster in 1946 maybe, or somewhere along there. I can't remember exactly the years it was.
After the end of the war?
Yeah.
And so then at that point you were both postmaster and operating the store?
Yes. Uh-huh.
The store was open and
yes,
the post office was in the store.
Yes, that's true.
And you continued that for quite a while, didn't you?
Yeah, for several years.
How long were you postmaster?
I was postmaster for 30 years.
So you went from about 46 on up?
Yeah.
Probably about till 1976.
Yeah. 76. I think I closed the store again in 81, I believe it was.
Why did you close it at that time?
Well, just...
Just to take a break?
Yeah, it was just too slow.
And so you didn't go into the armed services during World War II?
No, I was 4F.
4F, okay. Now, what other members? I mean, did you have brothers and sisters?
I had one sister.
One sister. What's her name?
Marjorie Chittum now. She married Earl Chittum.
And did she stay here and help with the store or anything of that nature?
Well, she helped some, but she didn't stay here long.
And when did you get married?
Got married in 40... get crucified for this.
Just give it approximately day or more or less.
Well, 43 or 4.
43 or 4?
Yeah.
44. And how did that come about? How did you meet Virginia?
Well, she lived close to here. And
where did she live?
She lived between here and Rockbridge Baths.
And did she go to the Brownsburg School?
Yes.
Is that how you met her?
Yeah.
You knew her from the school?
Yeah.
Did you have a long courtship?
Well, yes, right long. I started the courtship. I wasn't of the marrying age, I don't guess. And I courted till I got the marrying age, and then it went into that.
And what other social activities, if any, went on? Were there any things like dances and things?
Oh, yeah, they had dances and parties and little things like that.
Where were they held?
They were within the village here, mostly, or around with a few miles outside of the village.
Did they have dances at the school?
Had some, yes. Had some.
How about the churches? Did they have them have activities at the churches?
Yes, most of the people around here went to New Providence Church, and then the church that was here in Brownsburg had a few members, and they didn't have lots of members, but just had a few members.
Right. And did you go to New Providence as an early?
I went to New Providence, and still belong to New Providence.
Did you start going there as a child?
Yes.
And how big was the church at that time?
I expect it has, oh, 100 members maybe, or so, 100 and some members.
Oh. Do you remember any of the ministers out of New Providence?
Oh, gee, I remember. Mr. Hanna was out there, and Walthall, and had several different ones in my time growing up.
Walthall married.
Were there a lot of young people, children, young people?
Yes, a good many. They bused, we had several buses that bused them in here. This was they bused the school children in here from Rockbridge Baths and
to go to church and things like that, or yeah, church activities.
They not as much as the school. They bused them to school because the schools was here, and they had Rockbridge Baths and all of them came here. Of course, Fairfield had their school, but we had Rockbridge Baths and all the country around here that the children came in here.
Again, this is sort of a general question, but did you have any special experiences at the church that you'd like to tell us about, or interesting experiences? Or
well, we had I liked Sunday school very well. We had a good Sunday school class and had good teachers. And
who were some of the teachers?
Well, Mr. Mr. Can't think of that man's name now. Mr. Houston was one of the teachers, and we had several good teachers. I just can't think. They just don't come to my mind now.
So you had a good time going to Sunday school? It was a good experience?
Yes, I did. We had good Sunday school classes, good teachers, and it was a right good time for me.
And how did you get to and from the church?
In car.
Car. Family had car. When did the family first get a car?
Oh, we had a car all the time. My daddy was in the, like I say, he was in the funeral business, and we had cars. And
so you didn't have to ride a horse to church?
No, I wasn't a horseback rider.
What was it like to grow up in Brownsburg and live in Brownsburg when you were growing up?
Well,
what do you remember most about living in the Brownsburg area?
Well, it was just a village. It wasn't a large place, and it was just a village, and it was, you knew everybody, and everybody knew you, and it was just like friends, just a group of friends. It seemed like the whole village was a. Of course, at times, well, maybe they weren't all friends at one time. you'd have a little powwow between them now and then, but it, mostly it was just a nice little village that people knew each other kind of looked after each other. If someone was sick, well, everybody knew who was sick and how they were getting along, and it was just a small village that people associated with each other.
How about the black community? What was your experience with the members of the black community?
Yeah, we had quite a few blacks in the Brownsburg area, lived in the area here. And normally they got along very, very well. We got along very well with them.
And they had their own school, didn't they?
They had their own school, yeah. It was right here in Brownsburg.
Where was that school?
It was right down where they turned it into, made a cannery out of it when the war come along or something, and they had a cannery. They made the cannery in the school.
And where was that located?
Down right across, just after you cross the bridge coming into Brownsburg on the right.
Okay. About where Janice Ayers lives?
Yeah, just close to her.
There's a little street marker down there that says Schoolhouse Lane or something. Would that be?
That's probably it. Yeah,
right,
that's
there
right
along the
school,
creek. Right
school,
there along the creek.
Right, it was right there after you crossed the bridge coming into Brownsburg, where it was the first building on your right.
And
I think it's torn down now.
That's no longer there, right? You say it was operated as a cannery. What happened to the children who were going to school?
Oh, well, they moved them to another school.
They moved the black children to another school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why was, who operated the cannery?
I don't know who really operated that. It was operated some way through the school some way. I don't know who owned that. Who operated that? It was.
Were there a lot of people working there? Or?
No. It was just they had the ones that had the ones that ran it. Just a few, and then the people from the. I guess the school was connected with that some way. They had people that, and the people from the community went in and canned stuff that there. You'd buy your cans and they canned them.
So local people could go in there.
So local people could go in and can their
own
stuff. Yeah, they not put the number. You had a number and you so many number so and so can so many cans of so and so and. That
was that operated by Mr. Woody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lynn Woody?
Yeah. He had the overseeing of it, I think.
And did you all go back and forth from Brownsburg to Lexington or Stanton? Did the family have occasions to go back?
Oh yeah, we went. That's where we did most of our. You did most of your big shopping in town, like Lexington or Stanton.
Mm-hmm. How often would you go to say Lexington or Stanton?
I expect the average maybe once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah.
And did y'all? Use the train that ran over through Rayfield and Fairfield.
I never used the train. I mean, I guess we had some stuff shipped in by train that you'd pick it up at the depot, but Normally, you didn't. It didn't have a lot of that. It was just a little of it.
And since you had, your family had automobiles, you would use that means of transportation to get
right
to Lexington or something.
Right. There was no buses. We didn't have a bus to. Wasn't a bus right through here. And you had to have a car or get a taxi or something to get to town.
Did most people have cars?
Yes, I think most of the people did have cars. Of course, there was a few that didn't own cars, but most everyone had cars.
And how did you and your family keep up with what was going on in the world?
Well, we had the radio and had the newspapers and kind of kept up with them and that way. And then by visitation, people came into the store and they'd have a store for you and you'd have to sell them one and it worked.
So there was a lot of swapping of stores.
A lot of swapping stores, yeah.
So the grocery store was, to a certain extent, a neighborhood meeting place.
Right.
People would come in here and stay for a while, wouldn't they?
In fact, Saturday night was a big day. And
so you would stay open Saturday night?
Yeah, they'd stay open till 9 o'clock maybe.
And people would come in and out at that time.
Yeah, come in and talk and tell the stories of what happened that week, and they'd exchange stories there at the store.
So it was sort of like a community meeting place.
Right, that's what it amounted to.
So you listened to the radio, and you got newspapers. What newspapers did you receive?
Stanton paper and the Lexington Gazette and the Lexington Rockbridge County News.
So you had all three of those.
And then lots of people. I took the Roanoke paper for years, and so you had pretty good representation in the news media.
Now let's say you were born in 1923. Do you have any recollection of what life was like during the Depression years? Because it was John utilizing as a period from 1930 to 1940, before World War II.
It was a little rough going on some folks. It was a bad time.
How about your family in particular? Did you have any?
Well, we didn't have too much of a. The funeral business. My father was an undertaker, and he had.
That
people are going to die.
That continued regardless.
Yeah, that continues, and. It wasn't a thriving, great big business. It kept you. Moderate living, but it wasn't a great big thing.
So you didn't have any special problems with living during the Depression years?
No, just like it was a little. Things got a little tighter than they were when it was, you know, free spending and everything. People got they tightened up a little bit. They had to tighten their belts.
Right. And same way, do you have any special remembrances about life in Brownsburg during World War II period?
Well, it took a lot of young people out. We didn't have a lot of young people really, but they took a lot of boys went to the service, and boys and girls and so forth. And you noticed it. You saw a difference.
And how was the effect of rationing or that kind of thing?
Well, I don't think it affected people too much. People did a lot of raising their own foods and here, around here. They had
and gardens.
Everybody had gardens, and they had hogs. They butchered the meat, and they survived pretty well. It didn't bother them too much.
Were you selling gasoline during that period of time?
Yes, yeah.
And you had to observe the requirements, I guess, of the rationing of the gasoline.
Yeah, you had to ration the gasoline. You had to cards, stickers you put on your car. You had a A sticker or a B sticker. One allowed you so many gallons a
right.
week. And you get these stamps. You had to give stamps for your gas. You had to have money. Had to have money and stamps
too.
But you had gallon stamps and 2 gallon stamps and 5 gallon stamps. And you could get 5 gallon or 2 gallon or whatever you wanted to get. It was rationed. That's all they knew. If you didn't have a lot of traveling to do, well, you weren't rationing very much gas. If you had an A sticker and a B and a...
So unless you had a lot...
traveling person, if that was your business, why, they, of course, you got I believe it was an X stamp or something they gave you that you could have, you know, you could get most gas you needed if you was a traveling person. But it got scarce. There was times when it would be scarce.
Did you always have electricity when you were growing up?
I was growing up in the time when we got electricity here. I don't think we had it until a certain time, but it was the early part of my life. I didn't pay too much attention to it right then. I was too young to be affected too much by it.
So you really didn't have any experience with, or much experience that you can recall,
not too
without
much.
Without electricity.
No, not. I guess when I got to school, well, they had electricity, and you could study without a lamp. And but people used to have to study by lamps, and I wonder now when we got the electricity and the lights are so bright, I wonder how in the world you could see to study when you had to study by a lamp.
Right. So the schools certainly had electricity when you went to school.
Yes.
When you started
yes.
school.
Yes.
How about telephones? Everybody have telephones?
Yeah, we had a telephone operator switchboard here in the community, right in Brownsburg, and still do. There's a switchboard here.
Where was that switchboard office?
It was down, I believe it was in the...
if you know.
I can't recall. Now, they had a switchboard office down there above. Seemed to me like it was above the bank.
All right. Well, the bank was here, too, at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the telephone office then was on the second floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard from others, so I think.
Yeah, that's true.
How about the paving of the roads? Were the roads all paved?
No.
Well, tell us what you recall about the roads.
Well, about one time the roads, and I don't remember a whole lot about this because that was in my younger days, and I wasn't paying that much attention to the roads. I wasn't driving in. But they used to get some pretty deep ruts in the roads, the dirt roads, right? There was a dirt road right through Brownsburg here. That's all we had. And
right where the present Brownsburg?
Present road, and it was dirt. And
and it was there was some places that got pretty deep when it was get traffic would get pretty heavy and there's big ruts in it and they get pretty muddy and
so when do you can you recall when they paved the road?
Yes, I can remember when I guess when they started paving it, I'm sure that's all that I would remember about it. But it was a welcome sight. Well, it certainly was big excitement when we got the paved road through here.
Was that before World War II?
Yeah.
And did it go all the way? How far out of town did they go?
Well, it just went to. Just through the town, up right, straight through the middle of it, and right after you got out of the city limits, what?
Back to dirt road.
Yeah, back to dirt road.
So to get to the church, it was a dirt road out that way.
Yeah, from down to the bridge where you cross the creek down here, or you begin a dirt road then, and it was dirt road all the way to church.
And how about where Sterrett Road is? Was that dirt road?
That was dirt too, yeah.
And then south of town, didn't go very far south of town.
So, no, just went right to where the Brownsburg limit is, and the road stopped there.
And so when did the road, say like from Hayes Creek Bridge to the church get paved first time?
Oh, I would.
After World War II?
I think partially it was paved before that World War II. But right along in there was beginning to, pavement was beginning to pick up then.
So it was kind of, you had to pick your days when you were traveling, didn't you?
Well, it was right rough through here when it get before we got the paved done. It was they say I don't remember a lot about this, but it used to be said when you got through coming through Brownsburg here that a lot of times that the mud was axle deep in the main street through Brownsburg here, just where the cars would sink down in it.
How did the school buses get through all that?
I don't remember that, but it was.
Did any school buses get stuck in the mud?
Oh, I imagine. I feel sure they did. They had all of them had chains. They had to put chains on. And
how about your father's undertaking business? Was that affected by that?
Yeah, that was affected too. That was a bad time. If you had to go, that was a bad time to go. When it was raining and muddy, it wasn't a good time for a funeral.
No. Well, what changes, good or bad, have you seen take place in the Brownsburg area during the time you've lived here?
Oh, gee, there's so many of those where you could take all day to tell you them. But
well, just give us what your impressions are.
Everything is really improved. So it's just hard to come up with it. Like we're talking, your road business was better and everything got better. And it was easy to see how much better it was. We wonder sometimes how we made it through the rough time, but actually it didn't seem that rough to us then. It wasn't too bad.
So your general feeling is that conditions have improved over the years.
Oh, yes.
There have not been any adverse developments.
No, not really. Everybody finds a little bit of something to gripe about sometimes, but it a lot of times they didn't need it. Everything has improved pretty well.
All right, now going back a little bit again, tell us about what businesses existed in the Brownsburg area when you were growing up or lived in the area. Just give us a description. You don't have to.
Well, the school was the main thing here. It was we had a very good school, and they bussed, I don't know how many, I'd say 5 or 6 buses that bussed children in a year. We had, I expect, 300 or 400 in school. And they hauled them in here from Rockbridge Baths and all of the surrounding community, and had a school here and had one in Fairfield. And they were like that far apart, and you had to bus the children to them.
Well, what I was specifically referring to was the types of commercial businesses.
There was about 5 stores at one time. There was 5 stores in Brownsburg, and that has been fallen off. That the chain stores and everything just eliminated those businesses.
Were they all the same type of stores, or?
Yeah, grocery stores, and some of them were general merchandise stores, and they had groceries and clothing and everything together in a store, which was a general merchandise store.
So where were they located, if you know the names of any of them?
Well, they had Supinger store and Huffman store.
All right, now let's say Supinger store, where is that building still?
That's where the barbershop used to be down by the way. Barbershop was down there. That was down to the low, the last building down, or the that was Supinger's, and then the one on the corner was the store, farm store,
like a co-op.
Co-op, and they had feed and seed and all that.
Is that where Dick Barnes's house, where he lives?
Yeah.
All right. And the Supinger store was in the...
one on the other corner over there.
Okay.
And the Huffman store was over at the service station. That was a store and service station together.
All right. And any other stores in besides those?
And I had one for a year. My dad had one first, and then... And later, that his closed, and then lots of years later, I opened up one and had a store for a few years. But that was.
Now, were there any other businesses in town?
Well, you had the doctor's office, and you had.
Where was that?
That was down where Ag Patterson is now.
When did that start? You know, approximately, was that?
Oh, we always had a doctor here.
Always had a doctor?
Yeah.
What were the doctor's names?
There's several of them. Dr. Green and Dr. Bailey and Dr.
Dr. Williams.
Williams.
And they all live in the same place?
No, they doctored out of the same place mostly, but finally the doctor's office moved up to where the farm store was, above the house above the farm store there, and then I don't know that they had. The Huffman store was there over where the service station was. We had, like I said, it was 5 stores, and garage, and doctor's office, and all of this, my father's funeral business, and all of those businesses. We had, it was just a regular little village.
And you had the bank.
The bank and the post office and
the telephone company.
And you had, like I say, there was 4 or 5 grocery stores.
How late, I mean, did the grocery stores other than yours, when did they close out?
Well, they
different times, I'm sure, but
yeah, they got fewer and fewer as you got more superstores. We got, you know, they started opening up these superstores in town, and people that had cars could get to town, and they would that did away with the little village store man. He
so was that most were those stores still operating after World War II?
Yeah, some of them. There weren't as many, but some of them were.
So it was just as the town supermarkets got more prevalent and automobiles became more available.
Automobiles got easier to get to town and get your groceries, while that did away with the country store man. Because it was hard for the country store man to get shipments of stuff to, or get his stuff delivered to him in time to, to, you know, to satisfy the people, and it just did away with the store business. It just got to the point that you could hardly run a grocery store unless it was one right out in the middle of the country, and a guy put a grocery store out there, and it would pick up business that way.
Did you work for any other businesses other than your father's funeral home and your own grocery store, of course? Did you work in any of these other businesses at any time?
No, I had a school bus. I drove a school bus for a while.
Right. And you worked for Trailways.
Yeah, then later I got on as Trailways, drove for Trailways, the bus company.
How long did you do that?
7 years.
And where did you travel? Where did you start and where did you?
I drove from Stanton to Richmond and Stanton to Washington, and that's about the size of it.
And when was that?
Oh.
What years approximately?
I can't think of the years.
Was it, did you close the store when you were doing it?
Oh, yes, yeah. I closed, Virginia, I think my wife ran the store a little bit when I was doing that, but not very long.
So was that after World War II, when you were doing the Trailways?
Well, it was in that time, long but that time.
Well, now these are all fairly general questions, but you know, if you'd like to tell us about any of them, that's what we're anxious for you to do. What stands out in your memory is the most significant or important event or events that occurred in Brownsburg during the time you have lived in the area? That's a tough question. But any particular events that you recall, as you would like to mention, things that either you were involved in yourself or are aware of.
Well, we had the schools and the operating the schools. They used to have plays and do they had basketball games and baseball games, and that was the most
exciting
things that we had happening around here. Every once in a while, two guys would have a little argument over something, and they'd have a little fisticuffs that went on every once Saturday night or so. Somebody would get a little joy juice.
Yeah.
Make them want to fight. They might want to have a little scrap or two, and those kind of things.
It wasn't completely
peaceful
that all the time. It was very good. We didn't have a lot of trouble.
Now you were involved with the Ruritan Club, weren't you?
Belonged to the Ruritan Club for, I don't know, I think it was 40 years.
Were you one of the original members?
Pretty close. No, I don't know whether I'm the original, but I'm pretty close.
And you were also involved with the horse show.
Oh, yeah.
For a number of years.
If you were a Ruritan, you were involved with the horse show.
And where was that held?
We held it at different places. We held it over at Maxwellton Camp one year, several years. And we held it, we had it up to school one time.
Up here at the Brownsburg School?
Yeah. And we just had it at different places.
And
finally got to Bustleburg. I think we had it up there.
Where did they meet? Where did the club meet?
They met at the, right, like up to the church at the
New Providence
Men's Fellowship Hall. We had our dinners out there and different places. The schools would take you for a meal. You had the Ruritan Club would have a meal at a certain place and everybody went there.
Do they actually meet at the Brownsburg School?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I think they finally quit that, but they did.
Were you involved in any other organizations like that?
I don't believe so. Of course, you had the church and the Sunday school and all of those things, and then you had the time you got all of that worked in, and you the week was pretty well taken up.
Stayed pretty busy.
Yeah.
Just keeping up with the church and Sunday school and school and things like that.
In USS.
Did you go into town for any events? Did you go into Lexington to attend anything?
Oh yeah, there was things that would go on up there. Maybe the school would be having something, or somebody would be having something that. In town, and that was draw your attention, draw your crowds to them.
Now you were involved in a gospel singing group too, weren't you?
Yeah.
When did that start?
Well, that started after my boy got up, John got up. He organized a gospel singing group, and of course I was in it, and there were several of us around in it. And we put on programs at different schools and different places, and we'd get calls, and people would book us to have it at their school or something like that.
And you did that for quite a few years, didn't you?
Yeah, for several years.
Mm-hmm. And what instruments were you involved with?
I was played the guitar, and I played the
bass,
played electric bass. And
how big a group was this? How many people were in?
How big a group?
How many people usually were in?
Four or five.
And you traveled around to different places?
Yes, yeah.
Did you go out of state?
We have been out of state, yes, several times. We went to North Carolina some. you know, one gospel group would get perform in another gospel group's territory, and then they trade back, and they like to trade backwards and forwards, and that they take our gospel group, and then we take their gospel group and bring them to our place.
So they had sort of joint concerts.
Yeah.
Where there would be a number of groups.
Yeah.
At least two or three groups, anyway.
Yeah. If you got too many, it's too long. It lasted too long.
And when did you start doing that? How did you learn to play the guitar?
Just by ear, but I didn't take music. I just took it by ear. I just learned it.
Well, is this something you started playing at an early age?
Or? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I started 10 to 15 years.
So
10 to 15 years old, I started.
How did you get into that?
I just got an instrument and started learning, playing.
Were there other people?
Oh, yeah.
That you knew who played? And,
yeah,
and
my daddy played. He played the violin.
So you sort of had a family tradition of playing music.
Right.
Any other members of the family playing music? I mean, I know your son, John Mowry, plays.
Yeah, they
do a lot of them play musical instruments?
No, not really.
Well, not as many.
They didn't follow much. My sister played piano.
Did you? Did you play at church?
Oh, yeah.
At church.
That's where we did most of our gospel things, was at churches or at schools. And
so, any other activities that you've been involved in, like that? Things that you really like to do?
Yeah, I managed a baseball team for Brownsburg here one time. And
now, where was that? Where did they play?
They played county league for Lexington. And
I mean, where was the ball field?
Well, we played at Bustleburg, and we played at Lexington schools, or just wherever they had a field that they wanted to play.
The home field was at Bustleburg?
Yeah, Bustleburg was the home field, yeah.
And you were the manager of the team?
Yes.
How long did you do that?
For a few years.
Did you like doing it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was on Saturdays a lot of times, and then we got to be too much for when my wife was trying to run the store and I was throwing her for the ball game, and she had too much to do, and then we just had to cut it out.
These were school-age children that were involved, right?
No, we got to
adults.
That's where we had adult players.
Was there more than one team?
Oh yeah, the county, it was a county league.
No, I mean more than one age group team. Did Brownsburg, for example, have different age group teams?
No, we just had the one team.
All right. Any other activities like that? Anything else that you recall that you got have been involved in? It's hard for me to know.
Yeah,
all the different things that have gone on.
I belong to the fire department and the first aid at Fairfield for a while, and I was most too far away for that to get to like first aid and everything. So.
But you did do that for a while.
Did do that for a while, and it got so, you know, inconvenient that it was just hard to do.
All right. Well, these are sort of general questions, and feel free to expound on them in any way you like. Do you have any stories, humorous or otherwise, that you have heard or involved in during your time here in Brownsburg?
Oh, I'm sure there was a lot of them, but they've slipped my memory, man. And a lot of them for good cause, probably.
How about any family history or events? Names of any relatives who lived in the Brownsburg area prior to your generation? Early settlers of the area, related Revolutionary War, Civil War ancestors? Anything else regarding your family? How long has your family lived in Rockbridge County? I mean, does it go back quite a ways?
It goes back quite a ways. I was born here.
And now, before your grandfather, who was, say, your great-grandfather, where did he live, if you know? Would he have lived in the Brownsburg area?
Well, my great-grandfather, one of my great-grandfathers didn't live very long. He died very young. They lived over around Decatur.
So you have a connection to the Miley family, right?
Yeah.
Is that the photographer from the Civil War era?
Yeah, I think he was in the photography.
And did you have any knowledge of any of those folks? Did you hear about
it? Not, they were around Lexington, and I didn't. Lexington at one time was out of reach for me. But they were mostly around Lexington.
So have you heard of any other early family members, either from this area or Rockbridge generally, or even Augusta? Sure.
No, I don't think so.
You know, are there any other topics or subjects you would like to tell us about your life?
Well, it's been a very good life, I think. I've enjoyed it. And of course, when you're coming up with things like this, you leave out a lot of things that you think about later that you should have said something about, but I don't think of very much right now.
Well, feel free to let us know. We can always add to this if necessary. So if there's anything that you feel important enough to include, we'll be glad to add to it. And we'll even have an opportunity.
Well, I've been connected with a lot of things. I've been connected with the schools. I ran a school bus, had a school bus for several years, and to haul to Brownsburg School up here.
And what area of the county did you have to pick children up
in? Just around here. I mean, out from Rockbridge Baths and the side roads back through here, back through the country. Out through Pisgah and all out through there. And you brought those skilled children in here to school and then took them back in the afternoon. Rockbridge Baths.
And when were you doing that? Were you still operating the store?
Yeah, that was all in the
same time.
All in the same time. Took Virginia to work. She had to
take care of the store.
Take care of the store while I was there doing these other things.
So you had a multifaceted career.
Yeah.
Okay. school buses and other activities you were involved in. You were doing a lot of different things at the same time.
Well, you really had to do that to survive.
Really?
None of the things were big enough survival things to
on their own.
On their own, you had to do several.
Had to do multiple things.
Multiple things
just to survive. And how many children? You had a lot of big family, right?
No, we just had Virginia and I just had two.
So. But that's John Miley.
And Richard.
There were two children.
Yeah. And there wasn't but two in my family, me and my sister.
Are there any other individuals that you think we should interview? That you can think of, any other relatives, friends, neighbors, others who have lived in Brownsburg? We don't have to have the answer to that question right away.
I'll keep it in my mind.
If there's anybody else that you think that we really should interview, we'd like to know about them because we're trying to interview as many people as we can who either grew up in Brownsburg or lived here for, you know, a fair number of years, have some knowledge about the history and the development of the community. Were there any people that you were particularly friendly with that you really thought highly of?
Oh, yeah, they have most everybody. It was just kind of a friendly community. Everybody knew everybody, and it was very easy to get acquainted. And everybody was so close together that if anything happened, well, everybody knew about it in a little while.
So it was sort of a spirit of helping each other out.
That's right.
Your neighbors, when you've been living here, have included the Swopes, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the Lunsfords.
Soaps and Lunsfords.
And before the Lunsfords, it was the Wades.
The Wiseman.
Wiseman.
Thomas Wiseman and his family lived here for years.
And then down the street north, of course, the Whipples and Patterson.
Oh, yeah, Whipples, the Pattersons, and The
Huffmans.
Huffmans.
What happened to the Huffmans? Did they move away?
No, they died out, I think.
They died out.
Mm-hmm.
And now, we were told earlier about the house where the Pattersons is, where the doctor's office was.
That's where Ag Patterson is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was house was built by the community.
Yes, that's true.
How did that happen? I mean, how did they just get together and decide they needed?
Well, they needed a doctor and they needed a house for him, and they just got together and got a house for him, and that was used as a doctor's house for
several years. And there was supposed to be a lady who was sort of like a nurse.
Yeah, there was a lady who lived out here that was a nurse, a registered nurse, and I think she, I'm pretty sure she was a registered nurse, and she did work around here for quite a while. Miss Hines.
And where did she live over here?
She lived here. She lived down here where Wade Swisher and them lived.
And how about Asbury Church? How long was that here when you were growing up?
Oh yeah, that's
been here a long time.
Yeah, that's a public church. Used to be a pretty good sized congregation there, but it kind of dwindled away.
It was quite a number of Black folks who lived here or nearby. Did they work in the area for the most part? Or?
Yeah, mostly. Most of them worked on farms or just worked anywhere they could get work. It's what finally come down to.
Mm-hmm.
That got pretty hard to do because you had to get to Lexington or Stanton to work usually where they could pick up jobs, and that took a lot of traveling to get to your job, and that just took a lot of.
So some of them may have moved simply to be closer to the job.
To be closer to the job, cut the expenses.
What was it like to operate a general store in Brownsburg all those years?
Well, it was a living. It was a hard to do living. It was you had to watch your pennies, so you couldn't do it. It's just there wasn't that much business here really, because we had. Like I say, we had five stores here at one time, and five stores would, you know, the people that was in Brownsburg, of course, people came in from outside of Brownsburg to buy, but you'd lose a lot of those to town stores. They'd go to Lexington and buy their groceries. If they had a lot of groceries to buy, and the Waterloo guy like me and the other few merchants that had stores out here, you had to try to squeeze by on what you could get from them because.
But you were operating a more general store. You sold hardware and.
Well, you had
gasoline.
You had to do that. You had to do that to operate. You couldn't operate if you didn't do that. If you just strictly had a grocery store, like you'd have a hard way to go.
Right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about?
I think I've both covered everything. I'm
trying to recall everything that we would like to cover, but I'm sure there are other subjects that might be of interest. But if you think of anything, we'll be glad to cover it in a subsequent interview.
Yeah. If I think of anything else, I'll get in touch with
you. Okay. And thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
And
I hope I've been some help.
We'll get a copy of this transcribed at some point. Virginia can look it over. And if there are things that want to correct or, you know, change, add.
Well, she could have added something. Do you know anything I left out, Virginia?
Well, you can tell him how you started playing music and played on radio in Harrisonburg.
Oh, okay. You play, you're actually playing music on the radio, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Me and his daddy and two Potter boys, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Played every week, huh?
Yeah, well, when the Harrisonburg station opened up, we went down there and made the, yeah, made a Saturday morning program.
Do you have recordings of any of that?
No.
Didn't record anything, I don't think.
It's been so long ago, I was just a child then.
You've played for, you used to have dances in the homes, you've played for those. You'd like to play for those. Something else I was thinking there a while ago that,
Well, we'll interview Virginia as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she'll fill in some other gaps there.
I don't know.
But we'll cover that for you too. But
of course, she's here, lived here a whole lot longer than I have. And
well, thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to help you. I hope I've been some help to you.
We, I guess we better turn this off.
See, you're in the news. I didn't know that happened.